The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel, continuing with the story of David, starting in the 11th chapter. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. And when the morning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him." Then David was greatly angered, and his anger was kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very sun, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. I considered the possibility while I was on retreat and talking with other preachers that it's possible to some of you I may seem professionally and perpetually indignant. I take it as my job to wrestle with Scripture and attempt to come away with a message that I am convicted is from God for us here in this place and this time. More often than not, those messages are ones of challenge. And some of you may wonder whether I am pastorally capable of saying something comforting. It's possible that my indignation about the injustices of our society is mere self-righteous pride. It's awfully easy to be angry at other people. It's easy to point out their flaws. It's easy to criticize. A much harder thing to do is to humbly accept valid criticism of ourselves, to recognize our own complicity in evil, and hardest of all, to undergo genuine repentance. And by repentance, I don't mean feeling guilty. I mean an actual change of direction. I mean a new way of living that is no longer marked by the sins for which we are repenting. In the story which we read here from 2 Samuel, the prophet Nathan confronts King David with a story designed to draw David's righteous indignation. The story is an allegory for David's own sin in arranging the murder of Uriah the Hittite so that he could steal Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. David doesn't recognize the allegory and he falls into the trap. His anger is kindled. He thinks the man in the story deserves death. Though he proposes a more merciful sentence of paying fourfold that which was stolen. He asks for the man's name. He's ready to hunt him down and to pronounce judgment. And then Nathan says, "You are the man." Incredibly, David accepts Nathan's judgment as true. David doesn't redirect his anger at the impertinent prophet in front of him who dared to insult a king in his own court. David doesn't begin making excuses for himself, which is probably what I would be tempted to do in his place. He doesn't say, "Well, it was wartime. I mean, death happens. It's not like I personally killed Uriah." Nor does he say, Bathsheba and I are in love. It was something beyond us. We couldn't help ourselves. All David says is, I have sinned against the Lord. David, at a few points in Scripture, is described as being a man after God's own heart, which should strike us as strange because David was not a good man. He was violent. He was arrogant. He waged wars. He took spoils. He murdered those in the way of getting what he wanted. If there was anything that made David a man after God's own heart, it is his remarkable gift for repentance. David heard Nathan's prophecy, "You are the man." And he immediately accepted his guilt and set about making amends. Like David, I get angry when I perceive injustice around me. And anger itself is not a bad thing. I mean, anger is an alarm in our conscience going off to tell us that something is wrong. It would be a faulty conscience that never stirred up a little bit of indignation for cruelty and apathy and greed around you. But our Savior commanded us to get the planks out of our own eyes before we go trying to remove the specks from our neighbors. We need to be able to hear the prophetic, "You are the one," to recognize and accept our guilt without excuses, and then to find a way to repent. Our anger, thus, becomes an emotional tool of redemption, a signal to us that something is wrong. Maybe not something is wrong with someone else. Maybe that something is wrong with us. Here's a story. There is a man who had so much to eat that it was making him sick. He ate even when he wasn't hungry. He ate 3 or 4 times as much as he needed. He ate rich foods full of fat and sugar, and he threw a lot of food away. Meanwhile, all around him were people who didn't have enough to eat. They were hungry all the time, and this man threw his food away right in front of them. I am that man. There was a man who hired workers to make clothing and electronics and toys and anything else he wanted. The workers were poor. Some of the workers were children. He paid them barely enough to survive on and made them work long hours in unsafe working conditions where they suffered many hardships. The things they made for him, he used only a little while before throwing them in the trash. I am that man. There were a lot of men and women who called themselves Christians, which meant that they were supposed to love and follow Jesus, who was famous for caring for the needy, the outcast, and the sick, and for teaching the way of peace. But they almost never did any of these things. Instead, they pursued wealth and neglected the poor. They celebrated power and stepped on the weak. They waged war and laughed at the peacemakers. They rarely showed up at soup kitchens or food banks, but they showed up in thousands and thousands at a fast food restaurant called Chick-fil-A to support unequal treatment for sexual minorities. We are them. If there is good news to be had out of this story, out of these stories, the good news is this. There is no judgment offered in this story besides the judgment that our own actions have brought upon us. There is no additional punishment to be had. David's punishment for living a life by the sword is that the sword will be present with him. His own actions and the repercussions of his own actions, that is his only punishment. The only danger, the only threat, the only punishment held out before us by God in Scripture is that we will fall prey to our own actions, to our own sin. Our sin itself is our punishment. The fact that we live in a world where people are going hungry, that is our punishment. The fact that we live in a world where people are still oppressed, that is our punishment. The fact that we still live in a world where we try to solve things with violence every single day, that is our punishment. And when violence erupts in the midst of us, our solution that we begin to say to one another is we should all arm ourselves to prepare for more. We don't need any more punishment. It's punishment enough. Instead of offering punishment, God offers something different. God offers grace. God offers us the opportunity to recognize ourselves in these stories, to see that we are that man, and to begin to repent and to change. And if we live differently, then the consequences of our lives will be different. If we live lives that are full of love, then we will reap love. If we live lives that are full of grace, then we will reap grace. If we live lives that are full of kindness and caring and sharing for others, then we will reap kindness and caring and sharing. God continually holds out that promise and waits for us to recognize ourselves and to turn and receive forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor be unto them. Amen.